Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonomo, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show. Tonight is the RNC convention. The Democrats have responded with they're going to burn down another auto dealership. That will teach us for having people speak. On TV.
Hey, the show today brought to you in part, as always, by ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Love to have you check out that website. It's a great one.
You got to check it out. You really do.
Today, we got a couple of topics. Casper Stockham is coming on. I'm a little bit later in the show. He'll talk about Trump getting the official nomination, as well as some ideas that he has for his race. He's a candidate, the GOP candidate in CD7, which is where we live. But want to start off and bring on our good friend, and I always call him just a law enforcement expert, Mark Parker, former El Paso County Sheriff Investigator. Hey,
but
Mark,
not just that. He was also on the board school board, and so he's got a broad
background.
And
he's a rancher now. Every time
he's
I talk
a rancher
him,
now.
He's got
a porn star. No. Well, look at him. He looks great. He looks very handsome. Very handsome.
Hey, Mark, how are you? Thank you for your time.
Hey, no problem. Great to be here.
So I wanted to talk to you over the weekend. Well, we talked about this on the show Friday. Trouble brewing in Denver, where agitators inside agitators essentially harassed the police and created, I guess you could call it, a street brawl, basically, in Denver, when the Denver police were trying to deal with a homeless camp. And at the time, I blamed Denver's mayor. I said, you know, the mayor put the cops in that position. Now, after that incident on Friday...
Luckily, though, the mayor takes no responsibility. He says, I haven't been in charge of the city for 10 years. I mean,
you know... That's not my problem.
Go ask the developers.
The developers want it. Well, what happened then over the weekend is the same agitators, because they posted this up, it was, you know, they were going to destroy the police headquarters. And I've never seen anything like this. The Denver police put fences up around the Denver police headquarters, right? Barricaded themselves in.
Don't they realize that Paul Payson is hiding inside there? I mean, they shouldn't terrify the poor guy.
Yeah. Well, and then what they did with the organizers, they're very organized. The bad guys, well, I call them the bad guys, the agitators, they drive up with the van, give all of the protesters, not protesters, they're even the mayor said these are just rioters, give them shields and helmets. They go, they try to burn down the police station. Then they walk, go up and down and vandalize businesses and things. And today, over the weekend, the mayor said, this kills me. He said, you know, there was a coordinated effort to inflict this kind of riotous activity in citizens, mayor
Who
said.
Told them?
It's
Who
like,
told them?
No, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. But Mark, I want to get your take on it, because I think, and we'll play the videotape in a second, when you look at what happened Friday at that homeless encampment, to me, the cops were put in an impossible situation, deliberately, I think, by the protesters or the agitators. No matter what they did, they were going to lose. And I blame the mayor and the police leadership for doing that in the first place.
Well, it appears that both sides actually have agendas. When I say both sides, I mean the agitators and not law enforcement, but
right,
their agenda is to stay alive.
Yeah.
You know, and then like city council, the mayor and all these others and all these other different cities, they all have their own agendas, and the cops are stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't have an agenda. They're just trying to enforce the law, do their job like they always have. But now it's just an impossible job to do. And, you know, they're trying to test the waters in Denver,
right,
to see, OK, how's Denver going to react? Because they know in Portland and Seattle, hello, we're home. You know, I mean, they can do whatever they want. And, you know, even the mayor, I think, of Portland even tried to go out with them and be one with them.
Yeah.
And they basically told them to get lost. It's like, you're not part of the team.
Right.
Did you get the text message? No. So you're not part of the team. And, you know, we've seen in other cities where all of a sudden these bottled water, these frozen bottled waters come out of nowhere. These bats come out of nowhere. And so they are well organized. And it's always concerning when the rioters are more organized than law enforcement.
Right.
Yeah.
That can tend to be a problem. But if I've got it right up in Denver, so there's these tents that are just being set up someplace. I'm assuming it's on private property or someone else's property.
On the sidewalks. Anywhere they feel like it.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, there's been this big effort to get, you know, well-to-do people to move back into downtown. You know, they're building these expensive condos and these houses downtown. Come back into to the downtown area. It's wonderful. And then all of a sudden you have to worry about people setting up tents, you know, in the sidewalk in front of your house. So they call, somebody calls the cops, you know, one cop comes out and of course he asks for backup, you know, and so all the cops show up. Let me tell you, the cops don't have a plan. I mean, when they show up, they're there to protect each other and to enforce the law. And what a lot of people don't understand is when the cops tell you to do something, a lawful order, that's actually, you're obligated to follow their lawful order. So my guess is they showed up, they told them to back away, they're trying to keep this guy safe or whatever. And of course, they're there to antagonize. So they have an agenda,
yes,
which is to get hurt or to, you know, get the cops to not respond appropriately. And I have to tell you, I've seen the video. I even went to Candy C. DeBaca. I call her de Blasio, so we should be calling her Candy de Blasio because she's trying to run Denver like New York City. So we should just get done with it, change your name, and let's just call her that. But, you know, they have an agenda that they want to do, and she's putting these people at risk because cops have a standard use of force response whenever, you know, they can use force to move people. It's not like you can't stand your ground with the cops. If they have lawful orders, hey, you need to back off, and they don't, they can push them back. And they don't, you know, they're kind of being told that, oh, no, that can't happen. You know, the cops can't touch me. They can use a justified amount of force to implement what, you know, they need to have happen. I mean, that's how it works. And, you know, we've kind of reached a society now in some cities that any force against anybody from law enforcement is too much force.
You go like this and it's excessive force.
Right.
Let me play the video tip that you're talking about. So what this is, Denver City Councilwoman Candy C. DeBaca, she videotaped this live on her Facebook page. So she knew this was going on. She knew it was going to happen. These agitators are organized. You're going to watch, and then Mark, we'll get you to comment on the baton stuff afterwards. But what the person you're going to hear, you're going to hear Candy C. DeBaca, this Denver City Councilwoman, telling the agitators, let the police hit you because then you can sue them. And then after it's all over, she's going up saying, look, we're going to sue the cops. Let's get your name, your number. She's clearly organizing lawsuits against the police and urging that to happen. So Thomas, if we could play that videotape now, that'd be great.
Changed. Everybody needs to start suing if we're gonna fucking do anything about this, because they're getting, they think they're getting away with this. There are hundreds of people.
I saw everything.
It's all on video.
So, I mean, what do you do with that, Mark? I mean,
you're a city council person.
City council person always using great language.
Yeah.
You know, I was an elected official for 12 years. I don't think I ever dropped an F-bomb in public. You know, that at least to get recorded, and she is. So I'm thrilled to death about that. But she's obviously antagonizing. And here's the problem I have. It's obviously against the law to incite a riot.
Yeah.
Now, she's not going out and telling these people to riot. But what she's doing is she's encouraging confrontation. She's saying, let them hit you, you know. And so she's basically antagonizing them, rallying them to go do something to get hit.
Yes.
And, you know, so, I think it's borderline, you know, whether she's actually, she's definitely violating the spirit of the law. She should be, hey, guys, everybody settle down. They're just trying to do their jobs. They're just trying to, you know.
I don't think that was her point.
The thing is whenever you have an agenda, and she's using these people as bait. And I saw the video of the police union president.
Nick Rogers.
Know, he said that, you know, she's playing games with the citizens of Denver.
Yes.
He's absolutely correct. She's not the one who's going to get hurt. It's either going to be some cops or it's going to be some of these rioters. And if a rioter gets hurt, then it's abuse from the cops. If a cop gets hurt, well, that's his job. You know, that's his job. They know that, you know, that they're lying.
Well, they know that Beth McCann, the DA, is not about to bring any charges in this kind of, well, you called it borderline. I mean, even if it's not borderline, she's not going to bring it.
Well, and here's the thing, too, where this stuff escalates. It's that same group of people, and you can tell that if you look at their Twitter messaging back and forth, right? The same group of people who were there at the thing we just saw, it's the exact same group of people who organized the attack at the police department and the rioting downtown Denver.
Well, they're all on the payroll.
It's the same group of people.
They're all the Soros payroll, or whatever payroll it is.
And Mark, it's like what you said, so they're testing, right? Right. They show up, absolutely. And nothing happens here. You got Candy C. DeBaca encouraging you. So what do you do? The very next night, you go back and you try to tear apart the city.
It's the whole crowd mentality, and I've seen this in law enforcement. You know, when I've had to deal with gang members, if you have three or four gang members together, they're all going to act tough because they have to. It's that whole crowd mentality. Right. Then when you pull one gang member out and get them one on one, all of a sudden they're not quite so tough. And so what she's using is she's using that crowd mentality to rile them up, you know, to get them, hey, go antagonize them some more. See if you can get pepper sprayed more. See if someone will cross the bounds. And the problem is, and we talked about this, Julie, is law enforcement, the actual law enforcement officers, you know, they don't want to get in trouble. I mean, they love their jobs. They don't want to get in trouble. And so they act differently than really the way they were trained. And this is the thing about the shooting down in the Springs that we talked about a while back. These cops are acting a little different. And that video that came out today, where they shoot this individual getting into his SUV.
In Kenosha, Wisconsin.
He never should have been allowed to get near his SUV. They should have dropped him. You know, they should have handcuffed him. They should have placed him in custody. He never would have got to this vehicle. But instead, it escalates to a point where weapons are out, he goes to his vehicle, and ultimately they discharge their weapons. Had they handled it appropriately, the way their training was originally handled, he never should have gotten near that car. And these riders, they think that they can't be touched. And you saw the guy with the baton out, and he's holding it like this.
Right.
That's a standard technique to push people back. But just because you're being pushed back doesn't mean you get to hit the cops. It's not the way it works. And you notice that, you know, he does tap some people. And that's not the way that they're trained. You're trained with nightsticks. You know, you go through all this training. You're really trained to hit somebody with the nightstick. That guy's not hitting them.
If you're going to hit them. Well, let me ask you this, a couple of things. Then we got Barney, so we get to Barney. But so if you're on the cop, and this is my nightstick, because if you watch the video, the people are grabbing the baton, right? Now, if you're a cop, that's got to be sort of the equivalent of somebody trying to grab your gun, right? I mean, this is a police piece of equipment, and you can't have people. I know when I was a reporter and people would try to grab the microphone, right? To be like, I hold on to the microphone. I imagine if you're a cop.
Well, let's face it. If that officer had taken his baton and given him a powerful blow,
he'd be fired right now.
It would be riots.
He'd be suspended. And that's what happens. When cops do something to protect themselves, they get suspended. Right. When a rioter does something to cross the line, they might get arrested, but they'll be released on a $0 bond.
Well, they'll be paid for by Antifa,
Right.
Yeah,
well, let's go to Barney online too. Barney?
Hey, you're with Chuck and Julie and Mark Poff, Barney.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Julie. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Doing good. Yes.
Hey. Okay, so I'll say something about the cops first. You're you have to be crystal clear. And this, you know, sissy putting around, and we're not going to do, you know what? You just, the cops need to start cracking heads. And I don't, you know, I'm not a big fan of the cops lately, as of late, but in the old days, boy, you mouthed off to a Denver cop and it was over with. That Nightstick came out. I watched that. He was kind of making fun of this woman cop that was kind of not too pretty. And she cracked him in the face with that stick instantly. There was none of this. It has to be crystal clear. It really does. I mean, he right. grabbed his crotch and said, "What? Why don't you feel this?" And it was instant. Boy, damn. If you knew, you pick a fight with the Denver cops, you're going to get your head cracked. That's the right. way it goes. This is when you, like Mark, I think you're absolutely correct. The situation has to be crystal clear, like the kid in the spring. Okay, you either drop now or we're going to drop you. You don't start gambling and talking about video, whatever it is. You don't wheel and deal. It's like, we're here, you're going to do this now, and if you don't, bam. And you know, you die. That's, you know, then it's just got to be crystal clear. But what I would like to say to Mark is, Mark, I've been wanting to talk to you about the Gannon case. I know I'm changing the subject here, but when you guys go into a situation like with Gannon, and yeah. I saw the father. I'm not the father. I've got no – you know what? You let your children – you let a monster come into your home. So when you guys interview the people afterwards, does anybody ever say to the dad, hey, kind of like, what were you thinking, man? And I'm sorry. I know this is maybe – Chuck and Julie, you're not on the same page. You don't know what I'm talking about. But the father did nothing, and it looked like to me he was more worried about having maybe a good-looking woman. I don't think she's good. But he let a monster.
What are you talking about?
I'm not sure what you're talking about, Barney.
Well, he's talking about Gannon, the stepmother killed down in Colorado Springs.
Oh.
Where the guy marries another woman.
Gotcha.
The 12-year-old boy, I think he was 12 years old.
Right.
That was so screwed up. By the El Paso County Sheriff's Office, so bad. She was actually, you know, she transported that body. They knew the body was up in South Douglas County. They started interviewing her. They allowed her, after they interviewed her, she goes up, takes the body, and then drives it down to Florida. So there's just so right. many things that, and see, that's not really public information at this point. That
except for unless you listen to Chuck and Julie.
They were all over Palmer Lake.
Yeah, I mean, they were all up there.
Well, they were all actually, over Palmer Lake.
Right. I know that area.
Sorry, go ahead, Mark. I didn't mean to interrupt.
You're right. They screwed it up. They don't want to admit it. You know, I have a bunch of friends who still work at El Paso County. Does everybody even know that she got out of her handcuffs and beat up two female deputies while they're driving a rental car back? But they couldn't. Here's the problem. Nobody at El Paso County had the right paperwork to carry a gun on a plane. They wanted to fly out there, pick her up in Carolinas, I believe, and then fly back. But they forgot to do the paperwork. So they flew out with their weapons and the baggage claim, rented a car, and then these two female deputies were going to drive back. She ended up assaulting both of them to the point where they had to basically get medical help. And then they sent out a male deputy to come out and help from Kansas. That's not publicly known either.
Oh my gosh!
They've screwed that whole case up.
No, and what's really?
Hey, Barney, your question is can't they do something to the dad? I don't know, Mark. Do you have any?
Here's the thing. Let me answer the question. You can't.
Okay.
I've dealt with a whole bunch of mothers that have let their daughters be sexually abused by their new boyfriends and husbands, and a lot of times the victims will say, "Can't you arrest my mom? Because she's the one who let it happen." In a lot of these cases, you don't actually go to them and say, dude, what were you thinking and letting your daughter with this guy? I mean, or, you know, that typically doesn't happen.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'll tell you, this is why I would never make a good cop, because I would have, it'd have been over with. And you know what, the father, I see his body language, I see the videos, and I tell everybody, oh, you can't say that about somebody. No, I can say it. I see this guy, he let a monster hang out with his babies, and he knew, you know, this didn't just happen overnight. She didn't just blow up overnight and hurt this little baby, this little boy. There was a lot brewing, and it just kind of makes me sick when it comes to our society. But, you know, I guess it is what it is. If we can't protect the kids, then
We're changing right now. We're letting thugs run our towns, our cities.
Right.
Some of
exactly.
them.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I love listening to you, Mark. Love you, Chuck and Julie.
So thanks, Mike. Sorry to change the subject on you, but
no, that's okay. That's interesting. We'll have to do a whole show on that then. Well, Mark, and let me go, although kind of this ties a little bit with what Barney was saying in terms of, you know, what cops can or can't do. I'd like you to kind of explain, because I've been in those situations where it's chaos and at the police rally, right? Yeah. And I mean, if you're a cop, you don't know what people are doing. Somebody pulled the BB gun out there. You don't know if it's a real gun. I mean, if I'm a cop, I got to think that's a very potentially dangerous situation for everybody there. And what is going on with the cops? So first they kind of get in the brawl. Then they all go stand in a line. And then all of a sudden that goes on for a while. The people shout at them. And then they just like leave, right?
We've had enough.
What's going on? There's got to be supervisors getting in the middle of that somewhere.
Right. That's exactly what's probably happened is, you know, you probably had one or two cops show up. They get called. I mean, this is how it works. You call 911 or you call the cops, they show up. And so one or two show up and they're like, okay, this isn't good. Send me friends. Send me help. Law enforcement is a team sport. So then everybody comes and that's what you see. You see all these cops show up. Then they get there and they realize, okay, really, what are these people doing? They're trying to antagonize us.
Right.
So I'm sure a supervisor, you see them, they're kind of standing around like, okay, what do we do? What do we do? I'm sure a supervisor, either a sergeant or a lieutenant said, you know what? Why are we here? Let's go home. There's nothing here to be done. This isn't working out well. They're better organized than we are.
Yeah.
You know, so they all get in their vehicles. Now, what upset me was, is as they're trying to get away, that didn't, you know, as they're, well, I don't want to say retreating either, but as
right,
they're leaving.
That's what they were doing, though.
That's exactly what they're doing. You had this guy standing in front of the vehicle and they're like hitting the vehicles. I'm sorry. That should have, had a response. So what's happening is law enforcement is changing how they deal with these situations. And what I fear, cops are going to lose their lives because they're so worried about these kit gloves, you know, and how they treat people based on what race they are, that they're going to get themselves hurt or they're going to let someone get to a vehicle or get to a weapon. I told you years ago, I had an individual who got back to his vehicle and pulled an assault rifle on me. So your training, I will tell you, your training in law enforcement is, once you're out of that vehicle, you know, you don't want to get people back in their vehicles. And you know, in my case, the guy did get back in. I saw an assault rifle. We ended up fighting for it. But that's a whole different story. So what's happening is training, we're still training all of our rookie cops the same way. But then they get, okay, here's the real training. When you get out, and I know for a fact that CSPD down here in Colorado Springs and the El Paso County Sheriff's Office has told their cops, guys, don't pull your guns. You know, people have video, they're going to see the guns out, and everyone's going to go crazy. Well, you know what? Sometimes your guns need to be out.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was the problem with Devon Bailey.
Right.
They should have had their guns out. They should have had them on the ground. They should have secured them in handcuffs and then search them.
Right.
That's how they're trained.
Well, and my thing is, that's where I go back to me. So, you know, today you've got, you know, the governor and the mayor all of a sudden like, oh, those people, those are terrorists rioting in downtown Denver. But as if somehow that's different than the riots that we've had before. Those were peaceful protesters.
And the guys who hit you were peaceful
right.
protesters.
And yeah, right. Yeah. The girl who punched me, she was a peaceful protester. I mean, that's the thing. And it seems to me that when, and I'm going to blame the Denver police chief too. I mean, at some point, Mark, it seems to me that if you're the chief, you got to stand up to the mayor and say, we cannot keep sending our cops into these situations. Bad things are going to happen. We can't
win. I don't get the feeling Paul Payson is similar to the Seattle police chief who was pretty stand up. Yeah. And quit and demanded things
right,
and so
right.
forth.
I'm out. I mean, there reaches a certain point when you're just like, you know what? If you're not going to let me take care of my people, I don't want to be the leadership.
Right.
Because she knows something bad is going to happen in Seattle.
Right.
She knows
right.
it.
Right. Right.
And in Denver, what you need, and there's other, I mean, I know I've trained so many cops over my long career. There's probably 300 to 500 cops in the state of Colorado that I've trained and I know from all kinds of different agencies. And they're all treating their cops differently. You know, and you've got to be there for them. Now, it's one thing if a cop crosses the line. I get it. Good cops want bad cops gone. That's universal, but when you're not going to protect them or
well, with the proviso that police unions do not want bad cops run out.
Right. I get that, you know, but right now there's this big pendulum and we're letting, and you know what? I don't want to cut and mince any words. The Democrats are letting this happen. I'm sorry. I try to stay, I've told you guys this before, you know, and being in law enforcement, I try to stay out of politics, but they're letting this go nationally. Never said a word at the DNC about this whatsoever.
Right.
They are condoning, you know, their silence is the endorsement of their behavior. And so and if you have a city council person who's not even being quiet, she's right out in front encouraging them. So they are to blame children. And I call them children because that's what they are. Children are going to try to get away with whatever they can. You know, in the supermarket, if they want candy, they're going to start screaming. And if you give them the candy, guess what? What's going to happen next time you go to the grocery right store? They're going to want something else. That's what they're doing in Denver right now, is they're feeling out how is Denver going to handle this. And if the cops, and this is kind of one of my biggest concerns in all major cities, you know, some taxi drivers in New York City, if you say, hey, take me to the Bronx or whatever, hey, I don't go, you know, that's a bad neighborhood. Now, of course, I'm going to get criticized over the Bronx, but a lot of taxi drivers won't go into bad neighborhoods. Right. Well, the cops are going to get to that point as well, where they're going to say, you know what? I really don't want to go into that area because I know it's only going to
go no-go zone
in Europe.
You have a no-go zone. So then what you're doing is you're basically telling citizens, you have to defend yourselves. That's why you can't.
In Denver, they're not even doing that. You know, they sent the letter out to the businesses on.
Yeah, you're on your own.
You're on your own.
You're on your own.
So go get a gun, which everybody's doing, to include Democrats. Yeah. They're going out and buying guns. Guess what? They have no training.
Yes.
Right. So I'm telling you, bad things are going to happen. Either way, like the couple in St. Louis, you know, and things like that. You're going to have people that are going to be put into situations where they've not had any training like law enforcement has, and somebody's going to get hurt. And then we're going to have a big to do about who's right.
Well, the whole point is, even if you've had training and, you know,
and when they won't let you,
it doesn't matter.
Well, when they have training and, you know, and they have a gun, you know, some do not react well to having a gun, which I wanted to get to your point. I mean, I understand what you're saying is they never should have let that guy be able to walk around his car.
Right.
Let me finish this.
But he did walk around the car. Was it necessary at that point to stick 7 bullets in his back?
I have no idea. You know, they say the video shows everything. Uh-huh. The video doesn't show everything. So we need to get more information about, you know, really, was there a gun in it? Do we know at this point whether he was reaching for a gun?
Right.
We don't know.
But they wouldn't know even at the time. Obviously, the officer assumed he's reaching for a gun, even if he was or wasn't.
Sometimes I would tell you it's more appropriate not to have your weapon out. You know, they both had guns out, which means they only have one arm to do anything.
Right.
And hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you'd holstered your weapon, grab the guy and throw him to the ground, gently lay him to the ground. You know, everybody's got to, you know, the cop's got to be perfect. You know, you're always going to have a problem when you expect perfect behavior from imperfect people.
Well, in situations like that are evolving, that's where I go back to. I think the current Democrat leadership, and actually before I say that, let me read this. Mark has a good comment. Our other friend Mark, who listens to us on Zoom, he says, Denver's, I can say this on podcast, dumbass mayor and dopey head of security acting all tough guy with a tiny protest that got out of control. Anyway, I'm going to see them deal with the real Black Lives Matter and Antifa thugs. All this political posturing by Polis, Hancock, Cedar Baca just pisses us off in general. Usually when you incite a riot like Cedar Baca did, you go to jail too.
Not anymore.
You know, that's the thing, Mark. I think that the Democrats, I believe, want chaos.
Oh, yeah.
Chaos is bad for Trump, and people vote Trump out. So they're happy.
I'd like to change that. I think many Democrats don't want chaos, but they don't want to be on the wrong side of the political
cocktail party.
They don't want to be sound like the Republican side of the Democratic Party. So they just shut up. I mean, you know, we've got 13 councilmen in Denver.
Not a word.
Not a word from one of them.
And they all should have condemned what Candy de Blasio, you know, said.
Well, you should hear her comments earlier that day, and she's saying this, and it's on her Facebook page too. She said all the other city council members are a bunch of effing cowards. We need to start running now. She's not going to win Miss Congeniality at the Denver City Council. I don't
she's
know what their holiday party is going to be like,
it's so irresponsible. And the bottom line is you're playing with other people's lives.
Right.
She could, with her action, and I've said this many times, you know, someone else is going to have to fight because of her action. You're going to have individuals, when you watch that video, these people, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, you would have never said stuff like that to a cop. You know, I mean, my parents would have probably wailed on me more than the cops would have, but we don't have that now. So you have that in, I don't want to call it entitlement, but it's like a little 2-year-old kid banging their spoons. And then you've got these people who appease them. Probably one of the worst things you could ever do is, you know, why are you so concerned? What can I do to help you? These right. big, mean cops are coming here and trying to enforce the law. You know, I mean, right. it's
well, and
someone's going to get hurt.
Well, and not only that, I mean, somebody actually already did get hurt. You see, because if the cops had been allowed to handle that situation the way they were trained to handle that situation,
right,
then you would not have had the riots the next couple of nights at the Denver police headquarters. You wouldn't have had some of those business owners having their businesses looted and trashed, right? Number one, the bad guys, the thugs, would have been in jail. I mean, so Hancock now says, oh, we're going to arrest you if you do this again. Right. Yeah. I mean,
well, what Denver had an unwritten rule is that you got one riot a year, and it's usually Martin Luther Day, King Day, and you could beat up the Italians, and you could go down Broadway and smash all the stores. But that was just one day, Martin Luther to King Day, you could. But the rest of the year, you weren't really allowed to.
Another problem that needs to be addressed is all these cities are trying to take away these less than lethal tools that law enforcement have. Let me tell you, pepper spray and OC, wonderful. And you know, when people get an eyeful or a face full of pepper spray, they're not so tough after that. And it doesn't hurt them. I mean, it literally has no long-term effects.
No, I've been tear gassed covering it. Well, that's my question with you there, Mark. It seems to me like if you take away the less than lethal options,
you got to do is shoot them. That's right. All you want. And we don't want that. And so you have these tools that, like I said, the use of force continuum has been fine-tuned for years through lawsuits and that kind of stuff. And now they're just throwing that all away, saying, we're going to take out OC spray. We're going to, you know, the nightsticks are going to go next because, I mean, that looked brutal, didn't it?
I mean,
those little love taps that he was giving was nothing. But the point is, all of these less than lethal are there for a reason to keep everybody safer. And if you're not going to enforce the law, then don't have cops. That simple.
If you're the cops, and what are the cops, for instance, if I'm a Denver cop now, right? And for instance, that cop.
I'm confused,
right? Particularly the cop.
Yeah, you are confused.
I'm kind of like, okay, so I'm being ordered to disperse these people. As I'm dispersing them, they're grabbing my nightstick. Well, they can't do that. So I
can't do that. That's
against
the rules. And now,
here's Peter Bacchus saying I brutalized them, and they're saying they're going to sue me personally now. I mean, if I'm a Denver cop, I'm just like, oh, darn, my radio was off. I mean, to me, what do you do? You know?
You find another job.
Yeah.
And ultimately what's going to happen is all your great cops, because a lot of people say that cops are undereducated and all this stuff. They don't know what they're talking about. The majority of cops have college degrees. They could go do other stuff. And your great cops that are saying this is enough. Did you see the video where I think it was a Seattle cop? He goes, yeah, it's a great day, but I don't want to see you. And he goes, you're not going to have too much longer. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gone. I'm leaving, guys. You can have, this is all going to be like Escape from New York.
Yeah.
And the great thing about Colorado is we have the actor. Oh, man, I can't believe I forgot his name. It's all going to be Escape from New York.
Right.
Oh, no, we need Snake Plissken.
That's right. You know, that's right. Kurt,
all going to be run by the Lord's, you know, one of my favorite actors when, you know, but that's what we're getting to is we're heading in that direction, which is what they want. And what they don't understand, it's like what I think Ronald Reagan said it about feeding the alligator, hoping that it eats you last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really what the Democrats are doing is they've opened Pandora's box, which I'm pretty sure they're not going to be able to close after the election, no matter how it goes. And they're going to say, what are we going to do? And guess what? They're going to all of a sudden be all about law and order.
Oh, right. Yeah.
All of a sudden now we're not going to tolerate these people.
Oh,
right. That happened after the summer of violence last time around, right, where streets in Denver were open-air crack markets, right? And then, boom, everybody, they cracked down. So now they complain about that, and now we have these no cash.
Yeah, but wait till the Democrats and they really take over, you know? They'll be like, they're really...
And it's so unfortunate because I got to tell you, during my career, my 17 years career as a cop, I've worked with a lot of minority law enforcement officers, a lot. And there was never any issues. I mean, very few issues, especially when you're out on the street working.
Right.
And I will tell you, the individuals that are very confused right now in law enforcement are your minority law enforcement officers.
I bet.
They're just like, what do I do? You know, right. Because they're all for law and order. And they're the ones that are getting a lot of abuse because some people are considering them to be traitors. And it's like, what?
Well, and you see that.
Isn't that what you want? You wanted more minorities in law enforcement. Guess what?
Yeah.
We heard you. And
right.
They're there. And now they're treating them like they're, you know, treasonous.
They're the enemy. Yeah.
Exactly. So you can't.
Well, it's tough in Denver. I mean, when you have a population of only 9.5% black and your police force is like 20% black and it's still all racist. I mean, what are you.
It exceeded expectation.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing you can do.
Right.
I don't. Yeah. And I guess let me just a couple more questions for you, Mark, because we've got Casper Stockham coming up.
I may have a few more.
Oh, Chuck. Oh, as I said, from me, Chuck always says I had more questions. I'm like, too bad, Chuck. I don't know how to work the computer. but it seems to me that sooner or later, because things don't, in my experience anyway, heal themselves. These are kind of situations, they attract bad people, they attract crazy people. It seems to me that even that little brief street brawl we saw there, it's not going to be very long before somebody decides, I can totally take advantage of this. I can just, if you can go into an Aurora theater and shoot things up, man, all you got to do is just go to a street corner in Denver where there's one of these riots. I mean, that's what worries me that there's, it's dangerous, not just for the cops, but it's dangerous for everybody.
Well, and it is dangerous for everybody. And guess what? It's most dangerous for poor people. Because What are the rich people going to do that live in downtown Denver? They're going to vote with their feet. They're moving out. I mean, they've seen this. So rich people, they have their own security, you know, and they're in the neighborhoods that are somewhat protected. They're actually eating their own people, if you want to call it that.
Well, Candy wanted to hire her own gay lover to be her security force and paid for by the city. I thought that was...
Until the city said no. Well, that's not really communism, is it?
Yeah, I think it is. Some animals are more equal than others.
It's always the people that don't want to allow you the tools to defend yourself that have all kinds of security around them. You know, that's what just drives me crazy. It's like de Blasio. This guy drives me crazy. I'm so glad I don't live in New York City. He's got all this security, but he won't let anyone else defend themselves.
Right, right.
But, you know, they've just voted him in. Unlike Colorado, you know, where we rigged the elections with mail-by fraud, you know, New York, they happily, you know, you elect what you get, at least where you're elected. Yeah.
Absolutely, which is why I won't live in New York City.
Right, there you go.
All right, Mark. So great to talk to you. Great to have you on. Hang in there.
All is good.
Oh, that's good.
Good. All right. We'll see you next time, sir.
All right. Thanks. Have fun.
All right.
Now, let me talk a second about Synergenics. You know, Julie McCallum shares her concern with current health situation. It's top of mind of everybody, really, these days. Be assured she and her support staff are here for you. Today, full availability of her by phone, text, message, any other way you need to get a hold of. So Julie will let you know, listen to you, provide you more personalized medicine, and be available to you more than any doctor you have ever known. So give Julie McCallum a call, 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681.
All right. Now, I tell them Chuck and Julie sent you. Let's now bring up Casper Stockham, the Republican candidate for the CD7, Congressional District 7. He's been out. I saw Casper. You have all kinds of events going on. You were busy all weekend, but thank you for taking some time out. We always like hearing from you.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Awesome.
First, let me get your reaction. So Donald Trump officially renominated again today in Charlotte. Did you pay attention? What your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's great. Of course, we definitely want him to win. We support him 100%. He's been the best president that I've seen in modern times, you know, shy of Reagan. I think he's been phenomenal.
I think even more than Reagan, because Reagan didn't face the...
He didn't have to go through all this foolishness that Trump is going through right now.
Right.
So definitely a supporter of President Trump, and hopefully we can get him out here and support my campaign as well.
Yeah, hopefully. Although that poll also said he can't have a large gathering. So maybe if you just pretend you're doing a riot.
Yeah.
If you say we're going to go trash some buildings.
Go to Medved, burn it down.
Spray paint the Capitol, and then you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, there were some issues we wanted to talk to you about, you know, this whole, I have to confess, I have quit reading all the mail ballot. I mean, the Democrats, they're just like making it up, right? No matter what happens, they don't like it. But your thoughts on that whole issue?
Yeah. So, you know, the post office has been a problem for us for a long time. I mean, it didn't just start last week with President Trump. You know, for 40 years, I've been having challenges getting mail to and from places through the post office. And in fact, FedEx, UPS, and a lot of other private companies have sprung up to challenge the post office. The post office has had a lot of corruption as well. So presidents in the past, Obama, Bush, and so forth, have all tried to bring changes to the post office. Trump was just trying to do some of the same things, but I believe his changes would actually be beneficial to where the post office could actually turn a profit for once, because it's been not turning a profit forever.
Right.
So here comes the election and mail-in ballots. The Democrats propose more money to the post office. President Trump says no. And then all of a sudden now he's shutting down the post office. He's taking money away from the post. I mean, all this foolishness that's not even true.
Right.
The post office has money. The postmaster general has said that they're fine and they'll be able to do mail-in balloting. I am not going to send my ballot through the mail. I'm going to drop it off in the drop box.
It's no coincidence that Colorado went from a purple state to a deep blue state once mail-in balloting and ballot harvesting got up going.
I mean, I think
that we see the Democrats do this. They take little steps, and then all of a sudden, before you realize, you've stepped off the cliff. So first you just have, because it sounds good, absentee ballots, if you can't be there, you're sick, you can mail it in, right? So I mean, it's been slowly getting rid of the notion of voting in person, so you know who's voting, right? I mean, you can't have fake people. You know, like they're like Ed behind you, right? You couldn't show up and have him cast his ballot. People say, but to Casper, that's not real.
He's already voted like 10 times already. You can't trust that guy. He's crazy. No, but see, with the ballot drop-off boxes, those locations are monitored 24/7 by video, for one.
Right.
And secondly, we have election judges that monitor the mail as it comes in from those boxes. So there are several checks and balances that go on if you drop your ballot off in the ballot drop box. If you put it in the mail, all bets are off. We don't know where it goes and how long it stays there and if it's ever going to
The problem isn't so much mail ballots as it is
the ballot
harvesting. I mean, you know, in North Carolina, the Republicans in that case, where they cheat and get caught, well, the Democrats never do. You know, they're just collecting absentee ballots or mail-in ballots from minority neighborhoods and just putting them in the round file. And it's easy to do. I mean, it's easy to do. And so the fact that the Republicans in Colorado just let the Democrats do it, they didn't sue them, they didn't raise a stink, and now everybody points to Colorado as a wonderful example of what...
Well, the Democrats, look how perfect that is. It works perfectly. Let me ask you about a little, I thought it was kind of interesting where, you know, Joe Biden during the Democrat convention, he would come out once or twice and he would wave and, you know, look a little confused about where he was and what was going on, gave a speech, which he delivered. I'll give him that. But today we see the Republican convention, Trump shows up live in person, gives a speech. Tell me, I mean, your thoughts on the convention in this kind of weird time.
So this year has been the unconventional year for everything, including conventions. So him showing up every day, and I believe he's already had plans to show up every day for the convention. Right. I think it's phenomenal, you know, and it shows us, it shows the world that he's engaged a lot more than Biden ever was, you know.
Right. And they're also going to have the 365 delegates. And, you know, I remember I played prep school basketball in a gym that was made in 1900, you know, but you have 300 people in there and it was Madison Square Garden. I mean, it felt like Madison Square Garden. So I'm sure they can make it sound like it's a huge convention. And it's all the difference between that and Joe standing around in circles, you know, 40 feet from people.
Well, I had plans to go, you know, and I wish I could have went because I was going to mainly go to Media Row, because during these conventions, you have all the press from all over the nation. Right. Exactly. We were there in 2016, you know, you know, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of media people and stuff. So it's a great time to get exposure to the campaign by going to all the media rows, and everybody's looking for interviews or something to share on online. It's just a great time for candidates to be seen. So I'm sad about that.
Let me read you off the who's going to speak tonight and see which one you like or would find the most interesting. You could just pick one. Tim Scott, okay. Senator of South Carolina, Steve Scalise, Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan, ooh, Nikki Haley, and Donald Trump Jr.
Wow.
Yeah.
So those are all good folks. I'd be more excited to hear from Tim Scott and Jim Jordan. Uh-huh. The rest of them, you know, it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We know what they're going to say, huh? Well, what about, too, in terms of when you're, because you're out there, and I noticed, I mean, you're constantly on the campaign trail. I see your tweets, and you're all over the place. What are, you know, I guess when you talk about messages that you want people to hear, what are some of the messages that you're saying to people, and what are people telling you they want to hear?
Well, we are being received extremely well in Jefferson and Adams County right now. Our yard signs are in demand. People are asking for them every day. You know, we're delivering yard signs. They're picking them up at the different county offices. People are just frustrated with what's happening right now with our state, the rioting and the looting and stuff like that. So the message needs to be from the Republican Party on down. It needs to be talking about who is responsible for this, you know, for this behavior. The Democrats are going to try to blame Trump, sure, but the Republicans need to point out who is actually doing it. Just yesterday, the mayor of Denver finally came out and had a pretty strong post or comment calling the folks anarchist. I don't think he's ever used that word before.
Right.
He had to probably look it up to even see what it meant. but it's about these Antifa people who are just causing all this damage and mayhem.
Right.
So I want to see Republican leadership step up. Now, Ken Buck put out a post also yesterday, which was awesome, and I retweeted that. But I want to see all of them speak out about it like I've been speaking out about it. I was out in a neighborhood last night. You know, I was in Aurora at the Municipal Center checking out things and seeing what was going on. It was quiet as a church mouse.
Right.
There was nobody out there.
Right.
Even in Denver, it was fairly quiet last night.
Right.
Different than Saturday.
Right.
So, you know, we kind of dodged the bullet this weekend, but I am confident that the riots and looting are going to continue from now to the election in different pockets in different states throughout the country.
I agree with you, because I think that's part of the Democrats' plan is, number one, to scare people that we're all going to die of coronavirus. Number two, that Trump is getting us all killed because of the riots and things like that.
Right.
And they also need all of this going on so that Joe Biden, I don't believe for a second Joe Biden, I guess he committed to debate Donald Trump in three debates. He's not going to debate. This is my prediction. Right before the debate, the day before, somebody in Biden's campaign staff pretty close to him is going to have tested positive, so Biden's going to have to quarantine. I mean, I don't...
Why is it that he can leave his home and go to Wilmington, because he doesn't live exactly in Wilmington, but he can't go anywhere else? I mean, the COVID
I've got the same problem here with, you know, with Ed. So that's why I got Cardboard Ed, because he's afraid to come out of his home to do a debate, you know, and we don't have to shake hands. We could be across the room, you know, at some high school gym or whatever. I don't care where it is, but he's afraid to debate me because I'll be tying him to all the chaos and confusion that's going on right now across our state and in our different cities. So yeah, he's afraid to come out.
Well, yeah, not just him, Hickenlooper too, right? No, Hickenlooper's not debating. Nobody, that's okay. Well, then I think in part two, the Democrats are like, nobody can debate anybody. Kamala Harris is probably like, I'll debate. They're like,
that
makes Joe look bad.
We're gonna have a debate with myself, the libertarian and the independent, and Cardboard Ed is going to show up. So we'll have a debate for sure in person, you know, with those three individuals, us three individuals and Cardboard Ed. We're going to invite the real Ed Perlmutter, but he's probably going to be too afraid to show up.
Are you going to have another one of those events you had last time? We had all the congressional Republican candidates, I think, except one. That was a great event.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I'm going to reach out to the Tea Party and see if they can set that up as soon as possible. Yes, sir.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to add? Or if not, then where can folks find out about you, help you out?
Yeah, so we have a series of Patriot events that are still going on. We had one last Wednesday with Derek Wolburn. We've got another one here in 2 days with K. Carl Smith. And if people don't know K. Carl Smith, he is a Frederick Douglass Republican founder. And his message is the message that can help us win forever. Let me give you a classic example. So I'm sure you guys have seen the viral video of the black Congress candidate from from Baltimore.
Baltimore.
She's got on a red dress, a pretty red dress and pumps and stuff. She's walking through Baltimore, right?
Right.
That video ad now has gotten over 11 million views. It's been
got to get a red dress, Casper.
That's what I was saying. I got to put on a red dress and pump to get some notice. And pumps. But that's gotten over 11 million views. And what she's sharing in that video is nothing different than what I have been saying long time. K. Carl Smith, Derek Wolburn, you name it.
Right
now, the Republican Party has another window of opportunity because we have black conservative candidates on the general ballot. Now, during the primary, all bets are off. You know, the best person wins. But once those individuals are the nominee, like myself, going up against a Democrat, we should be able to get some support from the national party and the local party.
Oh, sure.
That typically doesn't happen. But if it happens, just like this video, 11 million views.
Right.
That means that a lot of people are waking up.
Right.
So I've got my book out talking about it. She did a video talking about it. We're going to put out a video as well that hopefully goes viral. If we get support, when we get support, it's going to help the entire party across the board. Yes, it's going to help me in 7. It's going to help Steve House in 6. It's going to help Lauren Boebert in 3. It's going to help Shane Boland in 1. It's going to help Charlie Wynn in 2. We all need to take this across the finish line. And I believe the Democrats are pushing are not actually speaking out against the violence. And I think that's going to hurt them in the long run.
All right, Casper, love to have you on. Keep up the hard work. Keep up fighting away.
Yes, sir. So Casper4Colorado.com is the website. Please join the team. We still need a lot of volunteers. We got a lot of excited folks out there, and we're excited too. Thank you, guys.
All right, Casper, thank you so much. Say hey to Ed for us. Thanks, Casper. Thank you. Casper Stockham there. I think he's right. I think the Democrats may regret it. I think Trump clearly. Well, I guess you're right. They're like, we've got the election rigged. We don't even need to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, so it's time. We run out of time. This show goes fast, really.
Well, almost out of time.
Yeah, our clocks are wrong. We have different clocks.
We have different clocks. I just want to say, these days there's too much information. Poor Jerry Falwell Jr. had to come on and announce that his wife had an affair with the pool boy, and that the pool boy was trying to blackmail him about it. So he said, I'm just going to get it out there.
Well, and then, of course, if you read the gossip sites, there might be more to the story. The pool boy says that no, Jerry Falwell was part of it. So he was kind of trying to be like the California congresswoman, I guess. That's what the gossip column site said. I tend to not believe that, because otherwise I don't think Falwell would have come out.
Yeah,
I don't think
he
would have
done
it. Hey, so I want to remind you, ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Thank you to our sponsors. If you would like to follow us on Twitter, we'd love to have you. That's at ChuckandJulie1. And you can also go to us. We're on YouTube. The best way to get anything and everything Chuck and Julie, if we ever have coffee mugs, they'll be there too.
ChuckandJulie.com.
ChuckandJulie.com. Love to have the folks join us on Zoom. If you're listening, you ever want to join us on Zoom, all you do is go to zoom.us. And then the meeting number is 209-576-423.
Don't go to zoom.com like Julie did for some poor guest that we were going to go on.
Chuck never gets over anything. Zoom.us. Okay, go to zoom.us. The meeting number 209-576-423. Thank you to Mark Poff. Thank you to Casper Stockham.
Thank you to Robert at BBS.
No, and Thomas.
Thomas.
Thomas and the guys there. And we will see you all on Wednesday.
Take care.